So we are still in Galatians. We are in Galatians chapter 6, still in the first seven verses. And we'll read a passage tonight that includes verses 1 through 7 after we first turn to the Lord in prayer once again. So let's pray right away once again, and then let's read this text. Father, as we turn to this teaching that Paul brings to your church, that you bring to your church, we ask that it would be a teaching that affects our lives. We ask that we would be changed by it and we would be of service to each other through it, and that you would be honored by it. And so, Lord, by your Spirit, guide us through your word. Teach us what you would have us know, and we will rejoice for the things we are learning about you and learning about ourselves and learning about our Christ. We pray it in his name. Amen. So again, it's Galatians 6, 1 through 7. Paul writes, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Let the one who has taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. The grass withers and the flowers fade, and the word of God stands forever." Amen. Last week we held one of our Sunday evening music nights, and because of that we were not together formally for our regular evening worship. And so I remind you now that 2 weeks ago we were also looking at this very same group of verses. And I mentioned to you then, those of you who were here with us, that our slowness through this passage would actually be getting slower for a time. The last sermon we really only looked at the first verse of the verses that we've read, and this Sunday we only check one more verse off as we go to verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. The command here is rather plainly stated, and the reason for it is also directly said. Yet these words are still worthy of some deeper thought tonight, because we often aren't the best at fulfilling Christ's law. I mean, sometimes in our Christian circles, the bearing of one another's burdens must first break through the barrier of even acknowledging that we are, in fact, a people weighed down by some burdens of life. Have you ever heard one of those testimonies of a person first coming to a saving faith, a person that's been given a new faith in Christ, a baby Christian? And we hear that testimony that includes the description about how a life once in shambles has been now completely made right once faith was received. I've come to Christ, my life is now good, everything is better. That really is not such an uncommon testimony, and there is something really quite dear about it. And the thought by the speaker of it is certainly that what he or she says is true, because when one's eyes are open to Jesus, things in fact are seen as being completely new and changed. And sometimes God, in fact, does do seemingly miraculous things when one is converted. There's sometimes, an amazing about faith when one turns from sin and turns to Christ. Life of addictions are at times abruptly left behind as one starts experiencing this new life in Christ. But Christians, we still live in a fallen world. And a life that is smooth and progressing with ease in a Christian today is still a life that can find tomorrow to be a day into which the burdens of daily life can enter and grow and become oh so heavy. Before I ever came to this church, I served as a ruling elder in another city, and with a few other elders, I was assigned a specific role to shepherd people of the church in need. I would regularly meet with one man whose marriage was burdened by his attraction to pornography. I ministered to a woman whose husband had left her and her children for a fleeting romance with another woman. I encountered on more than one occasion professing Christians who were burdened by the oppressiveness of a physically abusive spouse and father. Christ is our Savior, and our God is our Comforter. And in Christ, we can find contentment in all circumstances. But nonetheless, in a fallen world, we are so wrong to think that while we are in Christ and on our path to glory, we are also trotting a progressively upward path that only involves a greater ease of life. This instruction that Paul gives here, to bear one another's burdens, would not be a command given us if our lives were expected to be burden-free, free of burdens, and never to see a burden arise in any Christian life. I've had my times in this church as well. I've counseled some in their marriages and in their family life. I've visited many others in hospitals. And as you know, just in the last day, we at this church have seen a newborn baby carried to term and born to a couple, admitted to a neonatal intensive care unit, and then flown to a place across the state to have surgery for what ails her. Things such as these happen because even though we who know Christ are blessed to know Christ, we are still living in a world that's fallen. And a fallen world often intrudes into our most blessed existence. I reminded those here two Sunday nights ago that in this letter, Paul is writing to Christians. He is addressing Christians. It's the Christian, he says, bear the burdens of one another. Christians have burdens. But there seems to often be a fallacy accepted and often even presented in churches that sometimes treats the Christian life as if it were meant to always be a life of ease from any strife. One of the truths stated in the Westminster Shorter Catechism speaks about the fall of Adam, and that because of his fall, he and those descending from him, meaning all of us, are made liable to all the miseries of this life. And yet again, that fallacy exists, and sometimes in some professing churches, even directly taught, that implies that the true Christian life will always be a life of health and wealth. Where do you find that in the Scriptures? Where do you find it in your life experience? Even when we truly know that burdens are a part of everyday life, there is still this unhealthy tendency to keep one's burdens hidden within. Our physical health might be the greatest exception to that observation, but other than that, what we find is that pride often arises in us. Maybe it's more of an American thing. I don't know, but the pride arises and it finds so many people wanting to have their lives seen on the outside as always being perfect, even while inside there are burdens that are eating a person away. Certainly sometimes our own sin might be the source of our trouble. And so we want to hide our sin from others. But even at other times, as I said, the burden is still of another sort. And it is only the sin of pride that desires the struggle to be hidden and have our lives thought of by others as always a life of pleasantness. There's that beautiful family sitting in the church dressed handsomely, children so obedient, smiles on everyone's faces. That's the outward image so often we all want to project, when really inside there is a great and burdensome weight that might be bearing down heavy upon a soul. And in a sense, when that happens, if there is a failure within a person, it is a failure to live fully in the grace of God. And certainly an unwillingness to know fully the blessing of being surrounded by persons who can bless us by bearing our burdens with us. All this I say to just make it known that this really is Paul writing to Christian people and saying, yes, Christian, you should expect to have burdens. And these burdens may in fact be great. but you never take the first step to find relief by finding the help all desire that would lessen the load. There is that tendency, again, as I've said, not to seek out the help we need. We are loath to admit that we are all in need of help when our burdens arise and are hard to bear. We as Christians must face the fact that we shouldn't expect our lives to be burden-free. Even when we are in Christ, we are always in this fallen world, and we do remain liable for all the miseries of this life, all the miseries. And I might even at times add that it could be that sometimes we know burdens all the more for the very reason that we are in Christ. Sometimes the burden takes the form of a non-Christian employer challenging our Christian walk, or a teacher demeaning our faith, or a child in a family rebelling against his or her God. Sometimes our burdens can be directly related to the faith we profess. So first, I beg all of you Christians to admit your burdens and then seek out someone to share the load. You see, the bad news found in Paul's few words here are, yes, you should expect burdens in life. But the good news of this aspect of the Christian life is that we are part of a Christian community. And we are not meant to bear our burdens alone. We are to be there for one another. Janet and I have done some overnight backpacking in our time here in the hills. And the first time we hiked into the National Forest to set up our camp, I was reluctant to leave anything I thought might remotely be needed behind. So the burden of my backpack included nearly everything but the kitchen sink. Also, being a manly sort of man, I overloaded my pack all the more to make it so that my wife's pack was more manageable for her. But ever since that first time backpacking, after first learning more about the skills of packing lightly, I also found I could give a little more to Janet. Don't let her know that. Which still did not overburden her, but certainly made my travels a journey of greater ease. The idea conveyed in that physical example of sharing the weight between two backpacks is certainly in line with what Paul is saying here about the help we can provide each other in our burden co-bearing. But sometimes that also seems something that we oppose, that is opposed to our normal way of thinking. Just sometimes we don't want to let others know our burdens. We've seen that. But also at other times, we don't want to step out to help those who are burdened. I will say that sometimes that is for good reason. I have my own burdens. How can I bear yours as well? Well, we should know that there is wisdom in knowing our limitations. There is a just concern over just how involved in others' burdens any one of us as an individual should get. At times when you walk through another person's difficulties, it can be as if you are taking on more weight than you can really bear. And I say that really as a soft warning so that we are aware that there might be some times when some people should leave the burden sharing to another fellow Christian. It's wise at times to understand we might need to be cautious taking on more than we can carry ourselves. But having given that warning, I imagine many of you have also known the beauty of the truth that many hands do in fact make work much lighter. Again, as we read from Ecclesiastes 4, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil, for if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has no other one to turn to lift him up. Again, if two lie together to keep warm, but how, let me try that again. If two lie together, they do keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? Any thought a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. You see, everything that we learn from the scriptures implies that there is this benefit of being together in the burdens we share. The reality truly is that among the Christian family, bearing each other's burdens tend to lessen the load for all. And the further reality exists that sometimes sharing another's burdens is really as simple as being a listening ear, or providing a gentle touch, or offering that timely hug, or just lifting a prayer. And even when the sharing of another's burdens becomes more time-consuming or more deeply involved, say with nightly visits to offer comfort at a hospital or some other more intense care, or a more frequent and deeper offering of wisdom, what is often found by the burden bearer is that God provides the graces of stamina and discernment for such times. And He provides a sense of joy in just knowing that one has been of help. So my central advice to the one who is burdened is to be willing to share the burdens that are had. And the advice I offer to the burden bearers is to be willing to reach out, at least in most normal cases. Seek those out in need as the Christians that we are part of our family together and should have concern for the well-being of one another. And I sort of make that plea to you, especially as members of this church. And I make it particularly because although it might be true that I, as pastor, should be the chief burden bearer in a fellowship, sometimes my vision is not as observant as it should be. And sometimes the Christian you know best will turn not to the pastor but to a close friend among us. Paul is speaking this command to Christians as a whole and not just to leaders of the church, the ones who shepherd the flock. So we are to share each other's burdens, which means we must acknowledge we have burdens, which must be carried through the times of life. And we must be involved in each other's lives in order to see the burdens with which we can be most of help. We should be co-bearers with those most in need. And when we do that, when we bear each other's burdens, we are told, as this second verse of our small reading ends, we will in fact be fulfilling the law of Christ. You know, it's sometimes of great benefit to read a letter through as a whole as we seek to understand the meaning of one particular phrase, or at least to keep our Bibles open when we want to know what someone like Paul means when he mentions fulfilling the law of Christ. We can easily see from this one verse, just one verse, that we are to understand that Christians do have burdens, and we should share the burdens of one another. But it's less clear from the single verse alone as to what the law of Christ might be, the law that is fulfilled in burden sharing. But then if you just allow your eyes to drift upward on the page to the chapter just before, and to the 14th or 15th verse of the chapter, chapter 5, what you will read is that the whole law is fulfilled in one word. And the one word that fulfills the law is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I really can't help but think that this is the law that Paul has in view when he writes of the burden sharing. It's the law of God that back in that earlier chapter, Paul spoke about when he was engaging the moral law, the second part really of the moral law, which involves the neighbor who affirms love to one another as he serves his neighbor. And he then summarizes the law of love, that law of love, like we see here, by turning to the summary of God's law and reciting what Christ himself had said was the second greatest commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Paul in chapter 5 summarized the moral law of God without directly adding those additional words that Paul once spoke, or Christ once spoke rather, about the greater command to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he most likely did that because at that time he was in fact writing with a prime consideration of relationships that should exist between Christians. And this display of the law of love is in fact so Christ-like. Jesus Christ is our Creator. He is of the Godhead. He is the ruler of the heavens and the earth. And yet the law of love was always on display in his incarnate life, and seen most vividly in his going to the cross and becoming the sacrifice for our sins by knowing the outpouring of the wrath of God. Christ not only spoke of the law of love, he demonstrated it in every aspect of his life and in a particularly meaningful way as he went to the cross for us. I've said it many times before that with the fall of humanity and the fallen condition in which we still live life, we need to love each other all the more beautifully, just as Christ did. Even so, as we emulate Christ by endeavoring to fill the law of love, we know that our efforts will be imperfect. But we do fulfill the law of love when we bear each other's burdens. Living in this fallen world really can be a messy proposition. We cannot in this life completely escape the burdens that can weigh a Christian down. I've already given some examples of the burdens that infiltrate our lives. They can be burdens caused by our own sins, our burdens more associated with the general state of the fallen world. We bear burdens of sorrows and tears and burdens of physical illness and bodily dysfunction and mental illness and depression and woeful personal economies and unmet needs, weaknesses of faith and days of doubt. But the blessing of God, though, is that not only does he lead us through the darkness, but he does so often by giving each of us to one another, a Christian to hold another Christian's hand. Bear one another's burdens. Bear each other's burdens. And fulfill the law of Christ. Let's pray.